Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Our lives will not remain the same again. God's word is powerful. God's word is life-changing, life-enriching. I welcome you to another encounter with the word of God. This is Everyday with Jesus broadcast, episode 84. We've been studying salvation, and then we'll be seeing metaphors for salvation. Today we are going to stop this study on sanctification and then move on to another metaphor for salvation from Monday. And it's been a very great time looking through scriptures to learn what sanctification is, what it entails, the responsibility it confers on us as believers, the difference between sanctification in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how that should affect how we see ourselves as believers. Yesterday I mentioned how that in the Old Testament things and people were sanctified, were set apart, but in the New Covenant the focus is on men. Men are set apart unto God. So God is not setting apart auditoriums, buildings, campgrounds, chairs, all manner of things that people have, deified and called sacred today. God is sanctifying men. Men are the temple of God. Men are the habitation of God. Men are the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. All one and the same things. Jesus said to the woman by the well, says the time is coming when they will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. John chapter 4 verse 21. And then he says in verse 22. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. When he says the Father is seeking such to worship him, it doesn't mean God is going all over town looking for who to worship in spirit and in truth. Sometimes you come for a church meeting and then or you attend the church gathering and then you find people saying things like, the Father is seeking true worshippers. He's seeking true worshippers. Would you be one today? God is seeking true worshippers. Would you avail yourself to be one today? And things like that. God is not seeking worshippers in the sense of going around town looking for people who want to worship in spirit and in truth. It is God in Christ Jesus that produces or creates men who are able to worship in spirit and in truth. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 1, glory to Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 3, the Bible says, for we are the circumcision which worship the Father, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So we are the circumcision. The word circumcision is a metaphor too, because circumcision in the flesh speaks of the cutting off of the foreskin. So circumcision of the spirit speaks of the removal or the removal of the nature of unbelief. And then we have faith in Christ Jesus. We are born of God. We have received a new life. So we are called the circumcision of the spirit. And we worship God in Christ Jesus. So God is the one who creates true worshippers. Hallelujah. Those who worship in spirit and in truth. So you don't find places or locations deified in the New Testament, because the worship of God is in the spirit. Hallelujah. It is not based on the location. You don't need to get to a particular campground or a particular hill or mountain, hallelujah, before you can worship God in spirit and in truth. As long as you are in the spirit, you can worship God anywhere. And guess what? You are always in the spirit. Romans 8 verse 9, but you are not in the flesh but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of Christ dwells within you, the spirit of God dwells within you. So you are always in the spirit. That means the worship of God can happen everywhere. You can worship God everywhere. Hallelujah. There's no place, there's no time, there's no barrier, there's no location barrier, there's no time barrier. Everywhere can be a place or a time of worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today let me exhort us as we close this session on the study of sanctification. I want to exhort you on a need to pursue a deeper consecration in your walk with Christ. A deeper level of consecration. The truth of the matter is that your fruitfulness in life and ministry is determined by your consecration. Hallelujah. It depends on your consecration. How far are you willing to go in your pursuit of spiritual commitment and discipline? How far? How much are you willing to give up? Praise God. How much of your time are you willing to give up? How much of your effort are you willing to invest in pursuing consecration? Consecration to the Father. Glory to Jesus. How much? You see, you've been saved for a purpose. You've been saved to save others. You've been called into the work of ministry. So much has been committed into your hand. But how much are you willing to let go? How much are you willing to give up to fulfill your ministry? How much enjoyment, how much of this world's pleasures are you willing to give up to fulfill your ministry? Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to see how that Bible does not forbid us from participating in things of the world. And when I talk about things of the world, I'm not talking about lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes now. I'm talking about the legitimate things of life. The Bible does not forbid us from partaking in those things, from being involved with those things. The Bible does not forbid schooling, for instance. The Bible does not forbid work, business, doing business and making money, for instance. In fact, the Bible commands us to work. And the Bible says the man that does not work should not eat. Now, that scripture is not to be applied to the Nigerian economy without discretion. Hallelujah. to folks living in Nigeria under the Nigerian economy without discretion, or some other nations where people sometimes don't work, not because they don't want to work, but because there's nothing to do at the moment. You say, well, if they are not employed, they should be self-employed. Just find something to do. Well, self-employment depends on capital. Hallelujah. So sometimes people don't even have the money to start something. So before you carelessly or recklessly apply that scripture to everybody, you must first ask them why they are not working. Glory be to God. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. The Bible does not discourage a participation in such worldly affairs or earthly affairs. But there's a word of caution. Hallelujah. There's a word of caution. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Have you seen? It doesn't say to not participate in the affairs of life, but it says it becomes a problem when you become entangled. When you become entangled, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. To be entangled actually means to be lost in your pursuit of those things. To the neglect of the work of ministry. To the neglect of the ministry you've been given to fulfill. To the neglect of the ministry you've been called to fulfill. You get so busy, so lost in your pursuit of success in the world that you forget the ministry, or you neglect the ministry. Hallelujah. You see, when you find yourself on a spot or at a place in your life where it's difficult to make a decision to serve God, it's difficult to go out and do the work of ministry and preach the gospel to the lost, it's difficult for you to study your Bible, to pray, it is difficult for you to intercede, you don't even have time, you rarely have time for spiritual things, you're at a bad place, you're at a bad spot as a person. Hallelujah. That's a very dangerous place to be as a Christian. Because at that point in time, you are not just participating in the affairs of life, you are now entangled. Glory to Jesus. Mark chapter 4. How much are you willing to let go? How much are you willing to give up to fulfill the ministry? Hallelujah. How much? What are the things you have chosen to do in order to fulfill your ministry? Have you decided to be accountable to somebody? Have you decided that every day you are going to wake up 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. to pray consistently? What are the choices you are making with respect to fulfilling your ministry? That's what I mean by, you know, a deeper walk of consecration. You must make certain choices. Praise God. You must make certain choices. You must take certain decisions. You must abide by them. There are things I will do every day. Hallelujah. Also, you set boundaries for yourself. How much are you willing to give up? How much are you willing to give up in your pursuit of success in the world? You want to succeed in your career. You want to do well in your career. You want to do well in your business. All that is fine. But how much will be enough? Glory to Jesus. How much is going to be enough? And how much are you willing to give up and let go for the sake of fulfilling your ministry? Glory to God. Look at this, Mark chapter 4. It becomes a problem when we are entangled with the affairs of life. It becomes a problem when we are so busy with the world, busy with trying to achieve things, busy with trying to succeed, busy with pursuing greatness in life, to a point where we do not have time for the things that matter. That's a problem. That's a dangerous spot to be as a Christian. Mark chapter 4, look at what Jesus says in the parable of the sower. I like this parable so much because it reflects so much. It teaches so much. There's a lot of instruction in that parable. Mark chapter 4. Glory to God. Mark chapter 4, look at this. I'll read from verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you then understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones that fell by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." Verse 18, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Have you seen the cares of this life? The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. Hallelujah. Do you know deceitfulness of riches? Riches pose. Riches have this false promise of fulfillment and satisfaction. That the more you get, the more you'll be okay. But that's a deception. Hallelujah. Riches have this false claim of being able, of having the ability to satisfy men. And that's why Jesus says no one can serve God and mammon, because mammon can easily take the place of God in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. So there's the deceitfulness of riches. There's the care of life. There are the cares of life too. Deceitfulness of riches, worry, anxiety. You know, Bible says those things entering in choke the seed of the word of God. Those things entering in choke the seed of the word of God. Have you seen that? Hallelujah. So it becomes a problem when a man is entangled by the affairs of life. When you allow worry, anxiety, cares of life, your pursuit of things in the world. When you allow those things crowd out interest for the world. When you allow those things crowd out interest for serving God. When you allow those things crowd out passion for serving Jesus, there's a problem. Glory be to Jesus. There's a problem. So how much are you willing to give up to serve Jesus, to do the work of ministry, to fulfill your ministry? How far are you willing to go in life? How much will be enough? Hallelujah. You see, you have to set limits. And when I say you have to set limits, I'm not saying you should put a hold on everything you are doing, put a hold on your ambitions, on your, you know, pursuits generally. No, the limits are defined in the Bible. Anything that entangles you, anything that chokes the word of God, anything that hinders you from being fervent, from being committed as you ought to be, that's what you don't need. That's what you need to put away far from you. Hallelujah. It has become a problem. It has become an entanglement when you do not have time anymore to serve Jesus as you ought to. Glory be to God. So that's what I mean by setting a limit. You must know the things you cannot do. You must know, I mean, as a Christian, don't rationalize things that draw you away from commitment. Things that make it difficult for you to be available to serve Jesus. Don't rationalize them. Don't say, well, maybe God is dealing with me presently. See, it's not God that is dealing with you, it's the world. Hallelujah. So you must make up your mind. How much am I willing to give up? How much am I willing to let go? Something about the church today is how that there's so much emphasis on taking every opportunity, on just, you know, seeing God in gold and things like that. The truth of the matter is, a man that truly follows God would actually miss out on some opportunities. There will be opportunities staring you in the face. It will feel like, you know, it will feel like, wow, this is the big break you've been waiting for. You would almost want to jump at it. And then you have a lot of witnesses within you against that opportunity. Hallelujah. It's so juicy. It looks like it. It looks like the breakthrough you've been looking for. But then there's such a red light in your spirit. So strong, you know you shouldn't take it. Now, if you are driven by your senses, you still pick it, go for it, because you can't see beyond, you can't see beyond your nose. Hallelujah. But for a man that is driven by eternity, that is driven by a higher reality, a man that is living for something more, such a man knows that though it is good, though it seems good on the outside, it doesn't mean it is God. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean it is God. So he follows the inward witness. He follows the leading of the Spirit, and he forfeits that opportunity. The world will think you are mad. The world will think you are stupid. They will think you are dull. You don't know how to jump on things and jump on offers. Hallelujah. You know, I was sharing with somebody recently that somebody sent me a job offer. And then because of his connection in that company, he was very sure that I was going to get the job. But you know, the job would demand that I relocate from Lagos to Ibadan. Some of you listening to this, who are church members, you are even hearing this for the first time. It happened this year. He was so sure. He sent me the offer. And I know those guys too. Some white guys in Nigeria. They've been in Nigeria for a long time. They're into a Greek business. And you see, he knows I'm qualified for the job. And he was so sure. So he sent me the offer. And then he said, see, you can just relocate. I'll do everything. He wanted me to just come. Then I said to him, I can't leave Lagos. Why? I can't leave Lagos. I serve in a church here. I can't leave. I've forgotten and all. Now, the funny thing is, I didn't make that decision because I'm a pastor. It's been my way. Glory to Jesus. Pastor or no pastor, commitment to a place, commitment to a local church, a place of service, commitment to the work of God, wherever I found myself, has always been the priority. Has always been my priority. Has always been the reason for the decisions that I make. Hallelujah. So that's just an example. There are decisions you will make for the gospel that will seem as though you are stupid, you are dull, you don't know how to enjoy life, you don't know how to jump at offers and opportunities. But you know what? It is because you understand the place of consecration. How much are you willing to let go? How much are you willing to give up? How much will be enough? Hallelujah. Just for the sake of serving Jesus. Just for the sake of serving Jesus. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let me show you this. You know, I said that the key to fulfilling your ministry, the key to having a fruitful life as a Christian is your consecration. And this is also referred to as giving oneself to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Now, these guys were poor. They were broke in modern, you know, times. They were broke. Yet, they were begging the apostles to be a part of ministering to the saints. Imagine those who are poor trying to help the poor also, because this collection was for the poor. So they were begging to be a part of this collection, to give, to send relief to the saints, fellow saints that were also poor. Hallelujah. Now, Paul showed us how they were able to do this. It wasn't because they were just trying to prove a point. Paul showed us how that's why he says the grace of God bestowed upon them. That is, that life, that lifestyle, that kind of decision and commitment was born out of something. Hallelujah. It was born out of an experience with the Lord. Glory to Jesus. So he explains it. Look at verse 5. It says, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. In other words, the reason why they were able to extend such deep level of generosity to others in their own state of deep poverty was because they gave themselves to the Lord. It was because of their consecration. Hallelujah. They were not faking it. They had developed such strength and contentment in the place of giving themselves to the Lord, in the place of their consecration, that they were able to give in spite of their poverty. Glory be to Jesus. And I'll say again that the key to having a fruitful life as a believer, a fruitful life, a fruitful ministry, is in your consecration, is in your giving yourself to the Lord. Hallelujah. Giving yourself to the Lord. Many of the things that are difficult for you to do, many of the things that are difficult for you to accomplish for the Lord will suddenly become easier. They will suddenly become easier because of your consecration. In consecration, we develop strength and mastery. We are stronger in the place of our consecration. In the place of our devotion, we become stronger. We become stronger. The ability of God on the inside begins to find expression. The ability of God on the inside it suddenly begins to find expression. Hallelujah. God is able to do through us that which he wants to do in the place of our consecration. Hallelujah. Now, giving ourselves to the Lord entails walking in the Spirit. Don't forget, our sanctification came by the Spirit of God, by the giving of the Spirit. So we received the Spirit of God and we were sanctified. Hallelujah. We were sanctified by the Spirit of God. Now, if sanctification is by the Spirit of God, that means a walk in sanctification is a walk in the Spirit. A walk in sanctification is a walk in the Spirit. And the truth of the matter is, you cannot fulfill the work of ministry. You cannot serve God without walking in the Spirit. It's impossible. You can't serve God without walking in the Spirit. So, our consecration is about a walk in the Spirit. That's how we give ourselves to the Lord. We give ourselves to the Word of God. We give ourselves to prayer. We give ourselves to spiritual songs. And then our minds are affected. Glory to Jesus. You know, we can't live without our minds. So, our minds are affected. Our minds are changed. Our minds become spiritual. Our minds begin to adapt to the nature of God on the inside. That's our consecration. A walk in the Spirit. Glory be to God. And you cannot fulfill the work of ministry. You cannot serve God by the flesh. You can only serve God by the Spirit. So a walk in the Spirit is very, 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 very essential to fulfilling our ministry. Hallelujah. A walk in the Spirit. You can't serve God by the flesh. It will only come by walking in the Spirit. Look at Luke chapter 4. We see this example in the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Bible says at Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So Jesus, Bible says, he was filled with the Spirit. And then if you look at the chapter very well, that was the chapter that records the temptation of Jesus. So little wonder Jesus was able to overcome his temptations. Little wonder he was able to walk away from the devil and resist him. Hallelujah. Because he was walking in the Spirit. Now, if Jesus was walking in the flesh, you know that would have been very easy. Because it's only a walk in the Spirit that shields you from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So Jesus was able to overcome temptation, was able to resist the devil because he was walking in the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. He was walking in the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Because it's by being filled with the Spirit we are able to do the work of the Father. We are able to serve as we ought to. We are able to fulfill the work of ministry. And I'm saying to you that walk in the Spirit is our consecration. That's how we give ourselves to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how we give ourselves to the Lord. Glory be to God. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. Acts 4, 29 to 31. Bible says, now look on their threats. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You find out that there are believers who find it difficult to speak the word of God with boldness. There are believers who are always shy. Believers who are always afraid, intimidated. Any small attack, any small, slander or blackmail, they just go into silence. Any shade of mockery or any little despise, they just flee into spiritual or eternal hibernation. Hallelujah. Never to say anything again. Never to be bold about making a defense for the gospel again. Never to contend for the faith anymore. They've slandered them into silence. They've bullied them into silence and submission. Glory to God. Bible says the apostles prayed. Hallelujah. They prayed. You know, they are just men like us too. Men of like passions. So they prayed. After they were threatened, they prayed. And Bible says the outcome of their prayer was that they were filled with the Spirit. And you see, when a man is filled with the Spirit, he can face any man. Hallelujah. A man that is filled with the Spirit can face any man. He can face any opposition. That's why Stephen stood in the midst of the people, though he knew their evil intentions. He knew they were planning to kill him. He knew they were mad at him. He knew they were angry. He stood in their midst and he boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ unapologetically. In fact, he rebuked the hardness of their hearts. He says, you stiff-necked. Hallelujah. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. Acts of Apostles chapter 7 verse 51. You always received the Holy Ghost like your fathers. He rebuked them. Why? He was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Bible says in verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Bible says he, full of the Holy Spirit. I've heard preachers who said that Stephen was not wise. He wasn't really wise. Imagine, he should have cautioned himself. He shouldn't have said certain things. But Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. Everything he said under the influence of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It may not be palatable. It may not sound appealing. It may not sound good. It may not be politically correct. But if it is under the influence of the Holy Ghost, then it is godly. Hallelujah. And it is right. And it is according to the will of God. So a man full of the Spirit will face anybody and face any kind of opposition. That's why the apostles prayed. When they were threatened, they didn't resort to, you know, earthly wisdom. Ah, what should we do now? I think we should tone down on our teaching. Let's just be careful. This Jerusalem is not very risky now. Me, I cannot die. I cannot die. They didn't start consulting to see how they can, by wisdom, begin to preach in Jerusalem. Let's not preach again with words. Maybe we should start using, sign language. You know, let's just do sign language because I cannot die. Bible says they prayed. Hallelujah. They prayed. In the days when men will speak ill of you and talk down on you and slander you and blackmail you and oppose you, what will keep you is your consecration. What will keep you is your consecration. A walk in the Spirit. They prayed. Bible says, and they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. That's why a major requirement in the early church for service is being full of the Spirit. Full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 from verse 1 to 3. Bible says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves, among you, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Hallelujah. You cannot serve God by the flesh. It takes being full of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing that in the early church, for folks who were to be appointed over the business of serving food, they had to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Today we have preachers, pastors, who are not full of the Holy Ghost. What a time. Hallelujah. You cannot serve God without being full of the Spirit. And being full of the Spirit is a result of walking in the Spirit, which is the same as walking in your consecration. A devotion that is diehard, a devotion that is consistent, a daily communion with the Father in prayers, a daily receiving of the Word of God, giving yourself to spiritual songs. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Being full of the Spirit. That's the only way to go. Hallelujah. So you must make up your mind. I want to be more committed. I want to walk deeper in consecration to the Lord, to the work he has committed to me, to my spiritual growth. I'm going to make a decision that will make me fulfill my ministry every day of my life. My decisions are not going to hinder the work of ministry. My decisions are not going to hinder me from fulfilling the work of ministry. They are going to support and aid my fulfilling the ministry. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Look at this. Bible says, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So he says to be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Rather be drunk with the Spirit by singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Hallelujah. Verse 19 says, giving thanks. Verse 20 rather says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give ourselves to the Word of God. We give ourselves to prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost. We give ourselves to singing spiritual songs. We are filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Our consecration is about these activities, because those activities are of the Lord. Those activities are of the Spirit. So as I give myself to the Word of God, I'm receiving from God. Hallelujah. That's my consecration to God. I'm receiving from His Word. Just like Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and was receiving the Word of God, and Jesus says, Mary has chosen that one thing that is needful. So when I receive the Word of God, that's my consecration. I'm yielding to God. When I pray, the Bible says he who prays in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but to God. When I pray in an unknown tongue, I'm speaking to God. So that's a consecration to God too. When I sing spiritual songs, the Bible says singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, I'm relating with God. So my consecration is composed of these activities. Hallelujah. These activities. And I'm filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. The end point is that I'm filled with the Spirit and I become more effective in dispensing my ministry. Now let me say this as I close. As much as the Bible instructs us to not forsake the gathering of the saints, and we know that there's a provision for us in the body where we can come and find nourishment, hallelujah, you must also realize that you must pursue spiritual growth on a personal note. Glory to Jesus. On a personal note. Jesus modeled this. You must have this alone with God mentality where you are pursuing spiritual disciplines on a personal note. Do you know why? You would have more time to yourself than you'd ever have with the gathering of the saints, with the church generally. There will be many more times you'll be alone with yourself than you would spend with the church. Glory be to God. Now, even if we meet every day, we can't meet every minute or every hour. It's impossible. Let's assume we meet every day. Every day of the week we are meeting, we come to for prayer meeting, maximum 2 hours daily. That's the maximum we can afford. Hallelujah. Every day, because you go to work, you come back late. Let's assume we meet every day. There are many more times in the day that you'll be alone, away from the gathering of the saints. So that's why you must make up your mind to pursue spiritual disciplines on a personal note. The idea is to pick the culture from the church gathering, to pick the culture from the gathering of the saints, the culture of singing spiritual songs, the culture of praying in the Holy Ghost, the culture of meditating on scriptures. You pick it from the gathering of the saints and you own it. You take it to your private space. Glory to Jesus. Such that our togetherness, our gathering serves to sharpen and strengthen our personal commitments. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. So that our togetherness, the gatherings of the saints, are meant to serve the purpose of strengthening our personal commitments, because we are going to spend more time alone, apart from the gatherings, apart away from the church setting. We are going to have more time alone with ourselves. Hallelujah. To ourselves. So you must pursue spiritual things, spiritual disciplines and commitments on a personal note. You see, some of the most remarkable revivals that happened in the book of Acts were done by the hands of men who personally committed to evangelism. For instance, you have Philip. Philip went to Samaria. He went alone. He wasn't sent by the church. He just went. And he went to preach. Glory to God. And there was a mighty outpouring of signs and wonders. Men received the gospel. Multitudes gave heed to him. Glory be to Jesus. You see, personal commitment. Personal commitment. The best we can do is to organize prayer meetings. We come for prayer meetings. But after the prayer meeting, you must realize that that is not the end of your praying. That is only meant to strengthen your personal commitment of prayer. So you get back to your house that day and you keep praying. Glory be to Jesus. So you must pursue spiritual disciplines on a personal note. On a personal note. On a personal note. In fact, those who have a personal commitment are the people who come to church with so much fire and zeal and passion, ready to set others on fire. Hallelujah. Ready to stir up others. Ready to, you know, by their own zeal, determine the tone of the atmosphere. You know, there are people who come to church, who come to the same gathering with you. When you see them pray, the way they are praying alone, you feel like praying. The way they receive the word, you feel like praying. You feel like receiving the word also. The way they sing, their attitudes are so contagious. That's what we're talking about. Such is a product of nurturing a personal commitment to these things. So I beseech you by the message of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, only acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Pursue spiritual disciplines. Pursue a deeper level of consecration. Choose to fulfill your ministry. Choose to set yourself apart to the task and to the work. Choose to allow nothing get in the way of fulfilling your ministry. Choose to allow nothing get in the way of choking the seed of the word. Choose to allow nothing get in the way of robbing you of commitment to spiritual things, to the activities that make for a walk in the Spirit. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in on Monday. We'll continue our study on metaphors for salvation. And then we would move to another metaphor on Monday. Glory be to Jesus. Invite your friends, relatives, colleagues, classmates. schoolmates, anybody at all. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great weekend of being full of the Word, full of prayers, full of the Holy Ghost, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.